All right. Is anybody tonight got anything to want to say, want to thank the Lord for something that maybe the Lord's done? You don't have to tell me, you don't have to tell us what he's done, but you can just thank him for it. I believe we need to thank him for what he does. If you're here tonight, he's given us the most important thing, and that's life. And he's given us the grace that he had where we could be in his house also. Anybody that wants to just stand up and brag on the Lord just for a minute or two. That's good. Anybody else? Not just him, but anybody that wants to serve him, wants just to be faithful and just love him. Anyone else? As long as you got him, you got everything.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody else before we get to scripture?
Right.
I know that you have to read it. Amen. That's good. Anybody else? Well, first of all, I want to thank the Lord for where he came, where I was. He seen something in me that I could not see. I could not even fathom to even think about it. But, and I'm still not worthy of any of his blessings. I'm not even worthy of his salvation, but I'm thankful that he did save me when I asked him to come into my heart, my life, that he did save me. He done exactly what he said he would do, and he covered me with his precious blood. And I believe that's what the baptism really should mean to each and every individual that gets the goes into under the water and everything, that he's cleansing you. He's cleansing you from the bottom of your soul to the top of your head. And I do thank him. I thank him for this church. I thank him that he led me here. It was his doings. It wasn't my doings or anything like that. The only thing I done, I just obeyed the Lord, and I just called and I just got in touch with Brother Bill, and then the Lord, you know, it was, I don't know, I come down here, I don't know, a couple, two or three months before I even said I'd take it, but you know, the Lord wouldn't let me get away from it. And I'm so thankful. I've learned a whole lot here. What time I've been here, with no more people than what we got, I reckon I learned more here than I have in any other church or any other preacher that's ever preached, because I've learned something about true faith. True faith. And when they come up with the church's name, when it was established and when it was built and everything, I believe that he was, Brother Poovey was looking at, I think that, you know, he maybe suggested in a name, but and then probably got you to vote on it and all that, I don't know, but really, I think he knew that it was going to take faith to get it off the ground. It was going to take faith to do what he was looking and what he was asking the Lord to do. It took faith. And without faith, there's nothing. We don't have anything. If we don't have faith, we don't have anything. And that's what led me to the Lord. When the faith that I trusted him as my Savior, when I asked him to save me, and he did. Then there's probably a couple, two or three months, or maybe a little longer than that. Afterwards, I got to reading in the Bible and everything, and it talked more about the Lord than it did the Lord Jesus. Than it did Jesus. See, Jesus was mentioned when to get sinners to the cross. And then after the cross, and after he released with me anyhow, when the Holy Spirit got a hold to me, and he told me, he said, son, he says, it's not but one way to heaven. Everybody has to come the same way. And that comes, and that is through the Father, Son, the only begotten Son of God. And it took what faith that the Holy Spirit had given me to really take and trust the Lord. Because, you know, I think that, well, it was with me anyhow. It was kind of hard for me to understand that I was trusting somebody and I was putting all of my cares into the hands of someone that these physical eyes could not see. And that these physical ears that I have could not openly hear like we're talking here tonight. I didn't understand all that. How could I put all my trust in somebody that I didn't know? But you know something? It takes that faith. Faith in Him. Tonight I want us to turn to, unless someone else has got something they want to say, but if not, we turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and we're going to be turning to different scripture in the Bible. And my prayer is that the Lord will help me get this out in a way to where I can be able to take it and use it in my own life. And, you know, bring honor and glory to Him. And where I can go and I hear Him bring some hope to the people that don't have no hope. But here in chapter 9, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to start reading with verse 8. It says, "Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of an ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Or saith He it altogether for our sake? For our sake, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that treadeth in hope shall be partakers of his hope. If we have sown unto the Spirit spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar." Then in verse 18 it says, "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not the power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servants unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jew I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law of God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Verse 13. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. You know, this is Paul writing. This is Paul that is trying to help the people there at that time. He's trying to explain to them about the law. And he's trying to talk to them, speak to them about the law, that where the Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament people, that they was under the law. But now we're over here in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I believe that what he's trying to tell us today, that we are still under the law of Christ. But we don't have to be partakers of the law, because we are under grace. That's what we are under. We are under His grace. Why are we under His grace? Because of what He done there at Calvary. What He done there at Calvary that day. We need to be partakers of the law that He has given to us, that we may live the life by the law unto people that don't know Him as a personal Savior. Now, if we don't have any idea about the law of the Old Testament, and if we don't practice some of the law of the Old Testament, how are we going to be able to go out there and be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus? We can't. Because we know that under the law, being under the law is being under the Ten Commandments. And we know there that we are not supposed to lie. We are not supposed to begrudge anybody. We are not supposed to do this and do that. And we should not be out for money. We should not be the love of money. That's what I think a whole lot of people today is looking at, a whole lot of Christians, a whole lot of churches that at one time, years ago, was grounded in the Word of God, and the pastors of old that they had preached the Word of God. And they let the Word of God stand on its own. They didn't whitewash it. They didn't put something to it or nothing like that. They preached the Word of God. They preached it like the Word says. No, make no difference where it lands or who it lands on. And I've had people to tell me, says, yeah, says, the reason I don't come to your church down there is because you're too judgmental.
I said, how do you get that? Well, you're always up there judging people. I said, I'm not judging people. I'm just telling people what God's word says. I don't have the right to judge anybody. But God has given me the authority to teach His word. To teach His word and to preach His word with authority. And if it sounds like that I'm trying to judge somebody, I'm not. I'm not the judge, but I'll tell you, what people don't realize today, they don't want to think that God will judge them. People don't want to think about that. They don't want to think about, well, you know, God's going to judge me. They said, no, not a loving God. He's not going to judge me. He's not going to bring wrath down on me. Why? Because He loves me. I've heard it all my life. Because He loves me. He died for me. I haven't accepted Him. I'm not saved yet. But He still loves me. You think He's going to condemn me? You think He's going to condemn me to hell? No, He is not condemning no one to hell. The individuals, it's up to them. They're the one that's condemning their own self to hell. And the only way that anybody can get to heaven is that they've got to change their life. They've got to change the way they walk. And they got to turn about face and walk in a brand new direction. And they have to put these eyes that we have. And we need to ask the Lord Jesus to touch His eyes every day. Because if not, our eyes can wander on the things that is not good for us. The eyes will wander to the place to where get us out of fellowship with God. And I don't want to be out of fellowship with God. And I don't think you do either. But there are multitudes of people out here that is at the will of God. They're at the will of God. Yes, they may be saved. Yes, I can probably go and probably take you to some of them where they come and they cried and they wept, hit the altar, and they asked the Lord to save them. And when they asked, the Lord done exactly what He said He would do. He would save them. But He did not save anyone to the point that they should not be faithful to His work. That's the reason He saved me. That's the reason He saved you. It's for us to do His work, because He's not here anymore. He is here within us. Paul is not here anymore, but we have Paul's writing. Paul teaches us what we must do. Paul teaches us that we must crucify this body every day. And we must ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take this body and to use it for His honor and His glory. Not for my honor, not for the church's glory or anything else. That I need to do it for His honor and His glory. But a whole lot of people don't look at it that way. They say, well, come on to our church. Man, we're setting the woods on fire. I mean, here it is. We done gained probably 30, 40 people in the last year. I know of a particular church here in Danville. They said, one of the members there who was telling me, says, if you ever give your church up down there, you ought to come up here with us. Come up on and join us. He said, because we growing. We're growing. We have had families to come in. We've had young people to come in. We have filled up the classrooms there. We are running anywhere between 70 and 100 people. Where at one time they weren't running but by 15, 25. But where has all them come that is thou? The extra 60 or 65 or 70 people that's come. Where they come from? They come from another church. Where somebody in a church ruffled our feathers. Where the preacher stepped on and around our sin. And brought up their sin. And they think the preacher is meddling into thy business. No.
It's not that. You know, people today, they don't like it when a preacher gets up and preaches about the Holy Spirit. I had one preacher to tell me this, and I disagreed with him. I said, it's in the Word of God. I said, but you know, you have to take it for what you think it is. But he said, I don't like to use the word Holy Ghost. I said, well, if my Bible is correct, and I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's not. But I'm going to say this. I believe that we have the closest thing to the original manuscript. And I don't believe that God would allow Paul or John or Peter or any of the others in the Bible to substitute Holy Spirit to the Holy Ghost. I just don't believe God would allow that to happen. Because see, God anointed each and every one of these individuals that wrote the scripture. And I told him, I said, I disagree with you. I said, but you know, I'm not going to get no argument with you. I said, I hope we're still friends. I just don't believe that. I believe in the Holy Spirit and I believe in the Holy Ghost. He says, the Holy Ghost. I said, yeah. He said, well, you know what the definition of a ghost is, don't you? I said, I know what the world's definition of the ghost, not the Holy Ghost, but of just the word host. The ghost. I know what the world perceives it to be. But see, God does not perceive His word to anything that we have here. If He says it, I believe it, and that's it. There's no more discussion with me about it. God's word says it, that's it. Doors closed. And I'm not gonna debate the Bible with somebody. Because see, you have people out here like that. See, they want to debate me and everything, and they want me to debate them and everything. And what they're doing is, see, they want me to get in an argument with them. I can't argue with them. The only thing I can do is just take God's word. Just take God's word. Say, Lord, I just thank you for your word. I am so glad that I was not caught up in some of this false doctrine that's going on. The false prophets, the people that's sitting under the preaching, supposed to be the preaching of thy word. They're sitting there, yes. But they're not hearing nothing. They're hearing what man says to them. If you hear
just what I say. And if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, what's wrong? Why are we here? Are we here just to listen to me? Are we here to listen to the voice of God? And His voice, it's a strong voice, but it's still a quiet voice. Still, we can hear it. I can hear it all the time. And I love it when He speaks to me. And I know sometimes I don't speak to Him, but it's not because I don't want to, because I just get caught up in everything else around me. And I should not allow other things to get in the way of me just talking to the Lord. Because you know, if we want the Lord to speak to our hearts, if we want Him to speak to us, there's number one thing we have to do. Get in this book and turn it. Start reading it. And He will speak to us. He will speak to us. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 58. In verse 1 he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people thy transgression, and thy house of Jacob thy sin. Yet they seek me daily in delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsake not the ordinance of thy God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice, that they take delight in approaching God. They take delight. Delight. They have the joy in knowing that for the next moment or two, or the next hour or two, I'm going to be talking to the Heavenly Father. And I'm going to be talking to His Son. And I'm going to be talking to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, either one. They're both same. Approaching Him. We have to approach Him before He'll ever approach us. I was telling somebody, I forgot what, one day this week I was talking to him, and I said, you know, a whole lot of people, they get things mixed up and everything. They think that, you know, they saved and everything. The name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they're in heaven, and they know they're going to spend eternity with God and everything. But yet then they start missing on Wednesday night. And they're not going to miss because they're having to work. They don't have to work on Wednesday night. But they just say, well, I had a rough day today. I'm tired. My legs are so tired, so weak. I just don't feel right by coming. Because I'm not going to get nothing out of it. Well, the reason people don't get anything out of it is because they don't put nothing into it, first of all. If they put something into it, then they'll get something out of it. And I'm so thankful. I thank the Lord every day. I do. And here lately, I've really been thanking him every day for the last couple, three, four months. I thank him every day that he allowed me to be in your presence. That right there humbles me. That right there tells me, hey, you have taught me something. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, now, for the message that was preached. Father, we just ask God, Father, that it was the right message that you wanted. And Father, that it may touch hearts tonight. And Lord, I pray, Father, as we go into the business meeting, Lord, that you'll have your will and way there. And Father, that everything will be accomplished the way that you want it accomplished. And we want to give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Sister Nancy.